Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us after that. Pastor Andy Rusnacko will be coming up with another good message. It'll be a real blessing to you there, and what a good message with Pastor Lutz. Yeah, I have to be careful when I compliment Pastor Lutz, because, see, he's leaves the studio and he gets in his car and he heads out while I'm coming on the air, and he says that he listens to me in the car. So, you know, I don't want to compliment him too much. I don't want him, you know, to get too full of himself there, but he had a good message today. And also, I need to compliment him every once in a while so that I can see if he really does listen to me. So I'll find out later on. But if you haven't listened to his program, it comes on at 1 o'clock, and it's a good program. And I wholeheartedly recommend that you tune in at 1 o'clock for Pastor Lutz and his program for the cause of Christ. And then stay tuned for Pastor Andy Rusnacko and his program following us at 1:30, or I'm sorry, at 2 o'clock. And of course, Pastor Lutz is the pastor of the Bible, North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio, and Pastor Rusnacko is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio. Both great churches. If you're in the area looking for a church, either on the west side or the east side, those would be two great churches to check out. Also, of course, then I'm also the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, down in northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland. And you can find out more about us going to us on our webpage at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you'll go there, you can find out more about us. You can also link to the page for our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And you can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. You can check us out there as well. Just a reminder also, we are broadcasting on YouTube right now. We're endeavoring to build up some broadcasts on YouTube. And so as long as I get the right things plugged in at the right time, generally speaking, it seems to be working better than when we were trying to do it with Facebook. Some of you, no doubt, remember some of the troubles and struggles we've had with Facebook Live, but now I've been broadcasting on YouTube Live and then just sharing that over to Facebook. And of course, that's what I'm doing right now. So hopefully you'll be able to find us there and be a blessing to you as well. We're going to hopefully develop some more things with that, but I'm going to have a word of prayer, and I want to touch on something talking about YouTube there. And so let's have a word of prayer. We'll get into our program here today. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to come on the air. Thank you again for just the 13 years of being able to be on the radio here in Northeastern Ohio. We just thank you for the opportunity. Bless now the program today. Help us to be a blessing and encouragement to someone today. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ, that they might know him and be able to put their faith in him as their Lord and Savior. And then, Lord, we do pray that you would help us to encourage believers in their walk with you as well. And we just thank you for your salvation that you've provided through Christ. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, wanted to mention again that on YouTube, where we're putting some of this together, and I've got them, I try to link things over to our Facebook pages as well so that you can find it there and go back to YouTube that way if need be. But if you go to YouTube and just type in Live with Pastor Al, I think you can find us there. Just type in Live with Pastor Al on YouTube. But Last Wednesday night, or I should say this past Wednesday night, I had an opportunity to be with Pastor Snow down in Copley, Ohio at Crusade Baptist Church there on Copley Road, probably about midway between, if you're familiar with the Copley area, midway between Jacoby Road and the Copley Circle, which is where Copley Road crosses Cleveland Massillon. And it's just, I guess, another way to look at it, if you're not quite as familiar, it's about midway between or maybe a little bit closer to State Route 21 about midway between State Route 21 and Interstate 77 on Copley Road there. So, but you can look up, you can Google them, just Google Crusade Baptist Church, Copley, Ohio, and Pastor Snow there. Great church down there, and they're doing a wonderful work in Copley. And I was asked to come down to talk about some things that are going on in the world, and so I had a chance to preach down there this past Wednesday and really enjoyed the opportunity, really enjoyed the people of the church there and the fellowship with Pastor Snow and to see how things are going down there. And God has really blessing in their ministry. But I preached on some of the things that are happening today, and I looked at it in context as in the days of Lot. And so some things I was talking about there, I decided I was going to talk about that on the radio here today. But if you want to hear the whole message, just go on to our Facebook page or to our YouTube and Google or search for us on YouTube there for Live with Pastor Al. And you can see the whole message. My wife recorded it on a cell phone and we uploaded it and burned through most of our data for the month, but we did get it down, and it seems to have come out pretty well, so I encourage you to check that out. But I want to go over to two passages here, and the first passage is in Luke chapter 17, and here in verse number 26, it says, "And as it was in the days of Noe," it's N-O-E, that's Noe, that's Noah, that's who we're talking about here, "and as it was in the days of Noe, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat," and let me back up again, this is in reference to the return of Christ. "They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noe entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all." Continues in verse 28, Luke 17, verse 28. "Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." Now, this is an important passage here, talking about what happened in the days of Lot here, and warning about what it was going to be like as we get into the end days and we get we approach the time of the return of Christ. And I believe when he's talking about the return of Christ here, he is talking about the return of Christ at the conclusion of the 7-year. Let me back up here a little bit. We're talking about the return of Christ and the events leading up to the 7-year tribulation period, culminating in the conclusion of the tribulation, when the Lord comes back with the armies of heaven and defeats the Antichrist and the armies of the Antichrist, and the Antichrist, the false prophet, are cast into the lake of fire. The devil is bound with a chain and thrown into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And then Jesus Christ sets up his millennial reign here on earth. But when we look at the days of the Son of Man, we're looking at the things leading up to the tribulation, the calling out of the believers, revealing of the Antichrist, and the 7 years there of the tribulation and the return of Christ at the end of it, as I mentioned. So that's what we're talking about when we're looking at as in the days of the Son of Man. And these are the characteristics of the time. And mostly when we think of Sodom and Gomorrah, we think of the sexual immorality, the homosexuality that was on display there. But there's something else going on there that a lot of times gets forgotten. And for this is the second passage over in Ezekiel chapter 16. In Ezekiel chapter 16, starting in verse number 48, the Bible says, "As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom." Now, God is going to list here several things that Sodom was guilty of. The first one he lists, let me read and I'll come back and touch on. He says, "This was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy." Verse 50 says, "And they were haughty and committed abomination before me, therefore I took them away as I saw good." Now, in the overall context here, of course, God is rebuking the Jewish people here for their sin and their turning away from the worship of the one true God to false idols and things like that. But these characteristics of Sodom here that we have given to us, number one, pride. And I was talking with actually Pastor Lutz as he was heading out of the studio. And, you know, the Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. And he pointed out, you know, you think about this, because telling him what I was going to be talking about here today. And he said, you think about it, this is the culmination of their sinful lifestyle in Sodom. And that's a really good point when you think about it, because think about this. Look at the pride we have in the world today. You look at the haughty attitudes. That, in fact, that's what was said there in verse 50, and they were haughty. Haughty and pride are very similar. Of course, it was pride that lifted up the heart of Lucifer when he said, "I will be like the Most High." He desired to be as God, and that was because of pride that his heart was lifted up. And I think that pride is a characteristic of the Laodicean church that we see in the last days in Revelation chapter number chapter number three. I get ahead of myself here. In Revelation chapter number 3 and verse 14, it says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased it with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked." Now, he goes on talking more about the condition of the Laodiceans there, but what you can see in their characteristic is very similar to what we see that God was identifying of some of the sins of Sodom: pride. And the Laodiceans were very proud people. They thought they had need of nothing. They thought they'd arrived. They had everything that they needed. And you know what? That's the way a lot of Christians are today. And I'm talking about Christians who may very well be born again, and churches. There's a lot of churches today that think, "We've arrived. We've got everything. We've got everything that we need. In fact, you know, God could learn a few things from us." That seems to be the attitude sometimes. And then, of course, there's plenty of people, plenty of unsaved people that call themselves Christians, and there's plenty of churches made up of unsaved people, and they call themselves Christian churches, and they're certainly lifted up in pride. And somebody comes along with the Bible and tries to point out that, you know, perhaps making shoeboxes to put some pencils and some socks and some mittens and some sunscreen and some mints or something in a pack of chewing gum or something to give to some recently arrived immigrants, that, you know, that's not how you get saved. I use as an example, there's a church in Richfield that the pastor there, I saw him online, where he actually had his little sermonette where he was saying that true salvation was doing that sort of a thing. He was using Matthew 25 as his justification for that. And while denying in the same message the gospel plan of salvation. In fact, he even said that the idea of confessing your sin and asking Christ to save you was of no earthly good, that true salvation was doing things to help the poor and the downtrodden. Sounds like Bernie Sanders running for president. Bernie Sanders, the noted theologian that said that the message of the Bible, and I pointed this out to Pastor Snow last Wednesday night, that he probably wasn't aware of it. I wasn't either. But according to the noted theologian, Democrat candidate for president, or would-be candidate for president, Bernie Sanders, noted communist, he said that the message of the Bible is standing up to the rich and powerful. Wow. Well, I didn't know that. I learned something. How about that? No, the message of the Bible is Christ. He's from the very beginning of the Bible all the way through the Bible to the very end of the Bible. The fact that Jesus Christ came into this world, God was manifest in the flesh. He came into this world because God created this world in Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2. Gives the account of the creation of this world in 6 days, and then God rested on the seventh day. On the sixth day, he created Adam, and then he created Eve from Adam's rib, and he brought them together as husband and wife, and he blessed them. That was the first institution of marriage, and they were in a paradise. Earth was a literal paradise that God had created for Adam and Eve, and he set them there and told them to be fruitful and multiply and to fill the earth and to subdue, which meant to watch over and have sovereignty over the earth. And I believe really that would have extended to eventually all of his physical creation, but that's another story. But he gave them one criteria, one restriction. He said you could eat from all of the trees, and I'm just summing through this real quick. You could eat of all of the trees that he had planted except for one in the middle of the garden, which was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why'd God do that? Well, he gave Adam and Eve free will, the ability to choose whether or not they would love God, the ability to choose whether or not they would serve and follow and obey God. And in order to have that as a valid choice, they had to have the choice to not love God. They had to have the choice to not obey God, to not follow God, to not do the things that he told them not to, or to do the things that they were told not to do. And so we know, of course, the story. The devil tempted Eve, and she ate the forbidden fruit. She gave it to Adam. Adam chose to reject God in favor of Eve. See what he did? A free choice. And then as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, well, we now have sin. And so God quickly intervened in chapter 3, where he established the format or the plan with the death of an animal, where he took the animal's skins in order to provide a covering for Adam and Eve. Remember, they had tried vainly to cover themselves with aprons made of fig leaves, which was the works of their hand. Well, what happened here, God showed us right here from the beginning in the book of Genesis that we cannot overcome the effects of our sin, that the human effort is not going to make us righteous before an almighty, holy, and righteous God. We need a Savior, and the death of that first innocent animal, the blood that was shed, pointed to the coming sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, the innocent Savior that took upon himself the sins of you and I, the sins of the whole world. as he died and he shed his blood to pay for our sins. The book of Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Sins cannot be forgiven if it weren't for that. All through the Old Testament, sacrifices were slain at the altar. Their blood was shed and poured out as a trespass offering, as an offering for forgiveness, as a picture of the coming sacrifice of Christ. And then Christ died on the cross once for all, and he paid for our sin with his own blood. Well, that's the message. And now we're called here in this age of grace to take that message to a lost and dying world. That's why we have churches. The purpose of churches and the purpose of Christians being in the world is not to stand up to the rich and the powerful, but to stand up and rebuke sin and to tell people you must be born again. You know what happened in the days of Noah? Noah was given a message that judgment was coming, and he was told to stand up in the face of wickedness and to rebuke the sin and to tell people they needed to get their heart right with God, that judgment was coming. We're called to do the same thing as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. And now we're looking at Lot, and in the days of Lot, it's like the days we live in today, the latter days of this age of grace. We're looking to the blessed hope that the Lord will call us up to be with him in heaven shortly. And then the days of the Lord, the days of the Son of Man will take place, the tribulation period, and then we return with Christ at the end of the seven-year tribulation. But in the meanwhile, we see these characteristics: pride, the church at Laodicea. They didn't think they had need of anything, lifted up with pride. Fullness of bread. And did you notice that as well there in the church of the Laodiceans? It said they were rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's why I think he's talking about abundance of bread. You know, think about that when you first look at it. How can abundance of bread be a sin? It's not wrong to possess things. It's wrong when things possess you. You should not let your possessions become your God. Remember the one rich young man that came to Jesus, and he said, good master, what shall I do to be saved, basically? And God said, you know, about the commandments. He said, I kept all commandments from youth up. Jesus mentioned the commandments dealing with his relationship with people. But the one that he didn't mention was the first one, that we're to have no other God before him. You know why? The rich young man had a God that was more important than the God of the Bible. It was his wealth and his possessions. There's nothing wrong, as I said, with having wealth, with having possessions. It's wrong when you worship them instead of God. Jesus told the young man, he said, go and sell everything you have, give it to the poor, then follow me. And the guy went away sorrowful, the Bible says, because he was rich. See, the fact that he was rich didn't keep him from being saved. The fact that he loved his wealth, that he loved his possessions more than God, is what kept him from coming to Christ and following him. And that's what it's like in the days of Lot. That's what it's like in the days of the Laodicean church. That's what it's like here in these latter days before the return of Christ. People have an abundance of bread, rich and increased in good. And then, of course, there's the fullness of bread, pride, the fullness of bread, and the abundance of idleness. Wow, isn't that what we have today? The abundance of idleness. We are rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing. And we're just doing our own thing. In fact, Jesus tells the church at Laodicea there in Revelation chapter 3, he says, I count in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. They weren't zealous. They were idle. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. And idle, not paying attention to God. You know, what do you see in a lot of churches today? And it's unfortunate, but during the service, you see people, not just young people, but adults, head down, not praying, but looking at their cell phone, playing a game, texting, searching the internet, doing all this sort of stuff, but paying attention to the things of God. We're so caught up with things to do. Well, we're about out of time here, but this is the problem here. There's no care or concern for the others. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. I said they were haughty, and they committed abomination. And there's where you get into their sexual immorality. But it's not just the sexual immorality. They had other gods. They violated that first commandment. Other gods before the God of the Bible. The gods of pleasure. The gods of wealth, the gods of selfishness, all of those things. Well, you know what the cure is? Preach the gospel. People need to be saved. Have you trusted Christ your Savior? Hope you have. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.